I remember it just like it was yesterday. I got to the top of the tower. I was standing there. I laid down. The lifeguard said to me, "Cross your legs." So I crossed my legs like that. He then said, "Cross your arms." I crossed my arms like this. And then he said, "Have a great ride." And he took my wrist and he pushed me. And the next second, I don't remember what happened, but I remember going down very quickly. And all of a sudden, I had to fight the tendency to put my arms out, to grab for something, and to undo my legs to slow myself down. But you know, at that moment, I listened to what that lifeguard said, and I did not do that. I kept together, and I managed to survive that ride. That ride is at Raging Waters in San Dimas, and we can bring up a picture of that ride. That is called Dropout, and there's some fine bathing beauties there right in the front. That was taken in 1994 with my son. And we not only did that ride once, twice, three times, a fourth time in 1994. That's a great memory I have with my son, but the purpose of that was just to say, when you hear instructions, how do you react to them? Take that picture down, please. All right. A few years before that, I was standing at the edge of a 75-foot cliff. The instructor said, "Whatever you do, Dave, do not let go of the right hand on the rope." I turned around and started to walk backwards down the face of the rock. I remembered what he said. He said, "Just open your hand a little bit and let some rope slide through, and you'll just start rappelling down the cliff." As I started to go, I got a little more ambitious and let a little more out and started going too fast. And I remember grabbing that rope and holding it behind my back, saying, "I want to pay attention to those instructions," because I was dangling about 50 feet above the ground. Those are instructions I'll never forget. And when I heard them, I followed them. You think about that in your life, but think about that in your spiritual life with God. When you hear God's word, what is your response to it? We're going to look at a teenager today. This teenager has an amazing response to God's word. We're in a series entitled Essentials for Leadership. And today, we're going to look at a message entitled, "To whom are you listening?" We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3. You can open to that and follow along with me. Let me review for you the last couple of weeks. Now, if you're taking a blue Bible out that's provided for you, it's on page 192. You can open your Bible to that page and be right with us. Remember in chapter 1, we looked at a godly woman by the name of Hannah. And Hannah wanted a son more than anything else in her life. So God gave her a son, and then she gave that son back to God. And we looked at that first principle of what can you give back to God that He's given to you. And we talked about that. Last week, we then had a very interesting discussion, I thought, about family values. Everybody's talking family values, but nobody defines them. Last week, we defined four of them, in terms of what every leader's family should have, what we should be teaching our kids, what our responsibilities are. And we looked at that. Today we're going to continue. There's some time that has elapsed between chapter 2 and chapter 3. When we pick up chapter 3 now, Samuel is about a 15-year-old boy. When we left him at the last chapter, it's hard to say exactly, but he was probably, at the most, 8 to 10 years old. Now he is 15. He's been serving the Lord for a number of years, and we're going to look at one of the favorite stories in the Old Testament. Perhaps you've heard this told to you many times when you were growing up. But let's see more than that, what we can learn about following instructions. What's Samuel's example for us? So if you'll open with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. You're not going to need your outline for a while. I'm going to go 20 verses here. We're going to go through them rather quickly. And then we'll bring you back to your outline and see what we have here for us today. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. He was a 15-year-old young man at this point. God's word was not known very well at this time. Eli obviously was not doing a good job. We know his sons were doing a terrible job. They were more of a problem than a help. And so there was really a famine for God's word in the nation of Israel at that time. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Now, verse 2 and 3 tell us a little bit more about Eli. Probably he can't see very well. He probably has cataracts, many would say at this point. Samuel is doing part of his responsibility by staying in the temple area. One of his jobs probably was to keep a lamp going. There were a lot of fires around the temple area, and probably one of his responsibilities was to keep this lamp lit all the time. Verse 4, then the Lord called, Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. Now Samuel hears a voice in the night. He has no idea who it is, but he is guessing that it's Eli. And so, verse 5, and he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and laid down again. Now, for every parent, do you have good memories of this kind of a thing happening in the middle of the night? You're sleeping, and this little face appears right in front of you, about this far away. Daddy, Mommy, I need a drink of water. Or I need to go to the bathroom. Well, just go to the bathroom. It's the middle of the night. I'm sure every one of you can relate to something like this, or you've heard stories, or you've personally experienced it. And it's something that happens in this story. And so Samuel just thinks it's Eli. Eli finally wakes up and says, no, I didn't call you. Go on back. Lie down. Everything's going to be all right. Verse 6, again the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Now, Eli is probably a little more irritated and aggravated at this point, being up a second time in the middle of the night. And so, my son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. And it happens a second time to him. Now, you know, it typically happens, or it has happened in our household once, but usually not twice, because everything's taken care of by then. But in this case, it's not. Now, verse 7 is very interesting. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Now, this is kind of an interesting verse. Samuel knew God as his Savior at this point. But see, he had never heard God speak audibly to him. As his priest, as his prophet, God in the Old Testament, many times, and even very rarely, but in the New Testament, spoke audibly. That's what I believe this is talking about. He didn't know his voice. He knew God as his Savior, but he just did not recognize God's voice at this point. He'd never heard it before, and so he thought it was Eli's. Verse 8. Here we go again. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel! And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, hey, Eli, here I am. You called me. Eli wakes up again And now he's maybe putting two and two together. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So he comes in, he says, okay, it's the third time, maybe it's somebody else. And since we're the only two in here, I bet it's the Lord. Now this might have been kind of difficult for Eli because Eli was a high priest and God typically spoke to him. And now we have a 15-year-old boy who is getting direct revelation from God. I'm sure Eli may have struggled with this a little bit, but he knew enough to say, look, when he responds again, when he calls again, respond in this way. Verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Okay, good advice. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So he's lying on his bed, maybe hoping to go back asleep, but kind of wondering what's going to happen now. Verse 10. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. First message coming to Samuel from God directly. And he said, okay, God, speak. I am listening. I am waiting to hear what you have to say. And the Lord continues, verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. Folks, this is the first ear-tingling prophecy in the Scriptures. He said, this one's going to be a humdinger, Samuel, to put it in the vernacular. At that time, verse 12, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Those are some strong, hard words from God. But from what we saw last week, his sons made themselves contemptible in God's eyes. What did we talk about last week? That in this process, Eli spoke against sin, but he never acted against sin. Remember this? I gave you a little illustration. Here's what Eli did. Sons, you guys are really bad. A little slap on the hand. Well, the things they were doing that we talked about last week, he needed to remove them instantly from the priesthood. They were gone. Now, as a father, he would work to restore them and love them and do all of that. But he was not acting against sin. He was just making some statements that had really no impact on his children and on their lifestyle. I think the key here is that with our children, I'm going to go just a little bit back to last week. We need not only to teach against sin, but also to act against sin. If your children break the Ten Commandments, clearly, God's law, clearly a moral law, you need to do something about that. And not just a little hand slap. You've got to teach against sin, but then there's a point, you've got to act against it. Maybe if our kids are not getting it and they just continue to do the same things, we're not acting against sin as parents. And we need to act against sin. That is what Eli did not do. And you know what? Part of the reason he's removed from the priesthood, everything, is because of the way his sons behaved. It was terrible. All right, hard information. Verse 15, Samuel lay down until morning. Do you guys think he slept the rest of that night? What do you think? A 15-year-old hearing a prophecy about his mentor, whom he cared for, who had taught him many good things. Do you think he slept? No way. He just probably laid there in bed thinking, oh, wow. And he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Well, that's an understatement, isn't it? How would you like to have that conversation as a teenager with the highest official, spiritually speaking, in the land of Israel. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Verse 16, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. It's possible that he went over and Samuel came to him and they sat down face to face. And he said, you know, I know you heard from God last night. And I want you to tell me everything he had to say. Don't hold back anything. I want to know what God is saying in that prophecy, especially if it involves me. Verse 18. So Samuel told him everything, holding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Eli said, thank you, Samuel, for telling me that. At this point, God is sovereign, God is in control, and Eli was resigning himself to do, or to whatever God was going to do to him at this point. He says, let him do what is good. Whatever he is going to do, he will obviously do it. Verse 19. The Lord was with. Okay, verse 18. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and let none of his words fall to the ground. You see, the nation is now beginning to realize that this 15-year-old is going to lead them in the future. God let none of his words fall to the ground. In a very interesting phrase, it means that whatever he prophesied came forth, came truth. It was revealed. It would happen. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. The nation now recognizes this is our man. And as a young boy, he is now becoming a nationally known figure in the country from the top to the bottom, Dan to Beersheba. He is the man. He is the leader. Interesting story, huh? How many of you have heard that story a number of times in your life? All right, most of you. Good. Such a great story. I think there's a lot of very good things in here. Let me draw you back to your outline. Let's talk about this. What's going on here in this section? What can we learn from this? Okay, the key verse. If we can bring that up on the screen. The key verse is going to be verse 10. It's the idea of this. Speak, for your servant is listening. In verse 10. Speak, for your servant is listening. Now, this means what? The next part of your outline. This means, folks, it means to listen, but it means more than that. It means to listen with the intention of obeying God's word. Dr. Donald Campbell, who is a former president of Dallas Seminary, says this, the Hebrew word here means more than just to listen. It means not only to listen, but to obey to what you are listening to. It's Dr. Donald Campbell. To listen with the intention of obeying. In other words, when it comes in this ear, it just doesn't go right out the other ear. Means we listen and we ponder, we hear what God is saying, and we apply it to our lives. Samuel said this, and it's just an incredible statement that he makes. Do you, let's take to the next part of the outline. Do you listen with the intention of obeying God's word. That's where the rubber hits the road in this lesson. You see, Samuel is modeling this for us as a 15-year-old. But as we look at this story and we hear what's going on, it becomes a heart issue now. Intellectually, we can hear this. For some, many years, information, and good information. But does it just go in one ear and out the other? Or does it go in and we obey it with the intention of obeying God's word? New Testament principle. We see it both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. James 1:22. Just write down that verse. This is in the NIV version. Some of you probably recognize it maybe better in the King James version. But in the NIV it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says." What a powerful verse, James 1:22. So we see the principle in 1 Samuel, but we also see it in the New Testament in James chapter 1 and verse 22. Okie dokie, let's talk about examples. Let's look at a couple of verses here, and let's go on to the next slide, Ephesians 4:32. Let's look at this verse. On your outline, I think you need to fill in where the reference comes from in verse 32. And let's look at this verse together. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Here's one key part of this: forgiving one another. I hit on this pretty hard a couple of months ago when we talked about New Millennium Ministry and ministering to people. How do you minister to people? One of the key things we see is forgiveness. The idea here then is to grant forgiveness. Now, do you merely just hear that verse and say, "You know what? There are people I need to forgive in my life, but I'm not going to do it because I don't feel like it"? Some people are harder to forgive than others, aren't they? Shake your head, yes, that is very true. But here it says to forgive one another, the reason being, why do we forgive? Because who forgave us? Jesus Christ forgave us. So we need to forgive one another. In other words, when somebody has asked you for forgiveness, you need to grant them forgiveness. That's biblical. That's scriptural. Don't let it just go in one ear and out the others, folks. Act upon it. Do what the Word says. Ephesians 4:32, grant forgiveness. Okay, second verse. Let's bring that one up. Leviticus 19:11 is one of the most convicting verses I ever memorized. Maybe I wish I wouldn't have memorized it. "Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another." Okay, Leviticus 19 and verse 11, and the key idea here is to be honest. Do not steal. So, we talk about this in our family. And you know what my kids' first question they ask me? "Dad, did you ever steal?" And I said, "Yes, I did. When I was in junior high school, I walked into a store." Ah, goodness, I can't remember. I think it was Safeway. The dumbest thing I ever did. But as I told my kids, what I did is I changed the price on an item. I think it cost, it's so embarrassing, it cost $3.50 and I changed the price to $1.99. Dumb! But you know, as I was doing that, somebody walked down the aisle and they said, "You're changing the price. We caught you on videotape." I felt terrible. But they caught me. And he looked at me, and I guess if I would have given him a line or tried to lie my way out of it, I don't know, I just said, "You know what, you're right." He said, "I know your mom's an aisle or two over." He said, "I could go get her." And I just looked at him. And He said, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to change the price back. Don't ever do this again. I said, yes, sir. That was junior high school, and to my knowledge, I have not stolen anything since then. I had to tell my kids that story because in trying to follow this verse, don't steal. Don't lie. I think that's interesting. The idea of don't lie and do not deceive one another is we may not outright lie to each other, but we may present the facts in such a way so that it's obvious that we're right and we don't give the whole story. Do we ever do that? That is deceiving one another. And it's tied in with that. We're all guilty of that occasionally. Don't just let this information go in one ear, folks, and out the other ear. Listen to God's word with the intention of obeying it. Last reference. Matthew 28:19. Many of you recognize this as the Great Commission passage. We could use Mark 16. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore, what? What's the second word? Say it together. One, two, three.
Go.
All right, good. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, in His last words, as He was preparing to go up to heaven, said, you go and you make disciples and be about. That's my business, but you are to do it. And He was talking to His disciples, but He's talking to us today. Make disciples. All right. I meet with a group of men on Wednesday night. I have opened this group up beginning about 9 months ago, and I've had a number of very good men be there. Some have talked to me and can't attend, but then others have hung in there with me, and I really appreciate those guys that have hung in there with me. Recently, we've added 4 or 5 new guys that are a part of this. Now, why did I do this way back in June? Because I'll be honest with you folks, until I was 30 years of age, I wasn't doing this. And I'm a pastor. My parents raised me. The Navigators are an organization committed to disciple making, and they taught me. And then when I went into college and beyond that, until a number of years later, I just wasn't doing this. I was listening with the intention of not doing God's word. And Jesus Christ gave us this commission to make disciples. So it wasn't until sometime in Glendora that I started doing this. It started with one guy, and then a small group. And then when I went to Northern California, I started meeting with guys. And I have been doing it down here ever since we got settled down here. I started it, I think it was in June, after we got moved in and everything, that we are to make disciples. You know, it's interesting. As we went around the table this week with these guys, and I really appreciated their honesty, and I told them I was going to share a little of this, I said, guys, has anybody ever discipled you in any form or manner? And a couple of the guys said, yeah. And they could name a couple of people in their lifetime that had helped them. And some of the guys said, nope, never done a thing like this. And I said, good, would you like to learn? And so we opened up and we talked about, I think, one of the key discipling passages. And for the next 5 weeks with these guys, I'm going to go through, as one who has been through this, but I'm still learning this process, that we will go through 5 key areas of discipleship that the New Testament talks about. In the same way, I'm going to do this with the board. And many of these guys have been through this kind of a process, but we're going to review it together because this is what we are to be about doing. Going and making disciples. But if I'm not doing it, how can I ever encourage you to do it? But I am doing it. And this process is going on in other locations in our church and will continue to. Because what I want to get to, and I've told the guys in that group, one of these days it's going to happen where we have some people come in that don't know the Lord and they come to Christ. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk them over to these guys and say, okay, guys, now it's your turn. You get in there and start discipling them. You guys move ahead and help them to walk and grow in their walk with the Lord. You know what? Discipleship in this church is not effective when just the pastor is doing it. It's not. I have not done my job. Let me tell you, when I've done my job is when I disciple a group of men, and it's going to be men in this church, then those men are discipling others, then it's working. It's not working just me getting the information to them. It is, to a certain degree. But when it's really happening is when those men begin the process of discipling others. And they will. And they will, by God's grace. We're going to make disciples in this church one at a time. We're going to listen to God's word with the intention of obeying it. And I've given you a couple things to think about. Granting forgiveness, being honest, and making disciples. Until Jesus Christ comes back, we are going to make disciples. Because Jesus Christ himself, if he stood right there, would say this. And what we want to do is we want to honor God. We want to follow Jesus Christ. Because what do we want to develop? What is our vision in this church? I'm going to start the phrase and you join with me. Our vision is to... We have the classes we have right now. And we will continue to have more classes. We want to make fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Committed to Him. So that when we stand before Him, He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we're going to be about. Because that's what Jesus Christ was about. And He modeled it for us, and we're going to move ahead in that way. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Folks, leaders, listen with the intention of obeying God's word. That's the lesson today. Leaders, listen with the intention of obeying God's word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this great lesson, this great story. I thank you for the privilege we have of looking back 3,000 years ago and learning from a high schooler. Lord, you're willing to use anyone who has a right attitude and is committed to following you. And I thank you for the example of this 15-year-old. And I pray now in our church with our junior high and high schoolers that are around that age. We look forward to one day continuing to see them grow in their walk with you and becoming future leaders. I pray that you would help us not only, Lord, be hearers of the word, but doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week we're going to talk about 1 Samuel chapter 4. If you want to prepare for that, we're going to look at... Very interesting story again. And talk about the use and abuse of religious symbols. You ever thought about that? We're going to look at a film clip next week from one of my favorite movies. And if you read 1 Samuel 4, maybe you can come to the conclusion before you come next week. Let's look to the Lord as we give. Thanks, Lord, for the privilege of giving to you. Thank you that... You are interested in every part of our lives. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that we can give to you. In Jesus' name, amen.